Namo Buddhaya, Venerable Achan. In Mahayana canon, we find mention of various other Buddhas, such as Amitabha Buddha. Every morning, I do the Pali chanting, followed by 30 minutes of meditation. Then I recollect the names of Guanyin and Amitabha to cultivate mindfulness and faith. I observed that chanting their names makes my mind calm and peaceful. I was wondering if it's okay to keep practicing like this. Thank you so much, Venerable.
So we recollect the qualities of the fully self-awakened Buddha. In the Mahayana tradition, this can be Amitabha Buddha, the Buddha of endless light. We chant in Pali, we sit meditation, recollect the Bodhisattvas. In this way, our mind can feel cool and peaceful, and collected in samadhi. Then we have the faith, the mindfulness, to bring the mind to collectedness that's firm and stable. And then we see that when the mind becomes peaceful and cool like this, the mind becomes still in samadhi, and there's no meditation word there any longer. The mind's peaceful. Then the mind having become peaceful already, the samadhi is full. And then the mind starts to, at some point, proliferate again. At that point, we contemplate the body. We contemplate rupa and nama, materiality and mentality, to see it as impermanent, stressful, and not self. Because all Buddhas teach that form and name, or materiality, mentality, are impermanent. We shouldn't cling to them, because that's the cause of suffering. They teach that form is emptiness. Emptiness is form, feeling, perceptions, formations, consciousness are all empty. And form, feeling, perceptions, formations, sense consciousness, they're all empty, and emptiness is the five aggregates as well. So we see everything is empty and all is Buddha. So with this, we have the mindfulness and wisdom to be able to let go. But we start by relying on the parami of the Buddhas first. We recollect them, or bodhisattvas, bring the mind to samadhi. This is walking the path of sila, samadhi, panya, virtue, collectedness, and wisdom. So keep on doing this. Keep going with what you're doing. This is the way to bring your mind to peacefulness and coolness. That's an easy way to do that. So may you keep doing it, and this way you bring your mind to the state of emptiness.
I hear that Samajan says, when one achieves Sotapanna, they will not have a sense of self even when their mind is lost. But another Achan says that this self can only be eradicated when one has become an Arahant. May I know what is the difference between the self eliminated in stream entry and Arahant? Thank you.
So we take a look at the nature of the fetters, the samyojana. It's one Dhamma teaching. And this word fetter, it's something that ties the heart, binds the heart. So firstly, we start with the three fetters of Sakkaya Ditthi, Wicikicca and Sila Pataparamasa. So the fetters of personality view, clinging to rites and rituals, and the skeptical doubt. So these are the first three fetters. And the Sakkaya Ditthi, this personality view, it's a view that's firmly embedded in the heart, this view of self. And then there's the fetter of having doubts, not seeing clearly the path of practice to end defilement. And the fetter of practices that are not for the sake of Nibbana. So this is in the beginning, these three fetters that are abandoned at the point of stream entry. Then more subtle than this, we have the fetters of lust and ill will. So these three fetters are abandoned at stream entry. Then the next stage, the fetters of lust and ill will are reduced, which is the stage of once returnship. And then at the third stage of anagami, these fourth and fifth fetters of lust and ill will are destroyed, at which point the anagami is no longer born into this world. Then further than that, there's five more fetters that are more subtle that the anagami needs to abandon in order to realize arahantship or full awakening. So these are the five higher fetters. And then this is the destruction of all defilement, the end of the self, or the sense of self. And we see that the arahant is one who is far from the defilements. There's no defilements, no self at all. And from the beginning stages to the end, that the arahant destroys the sense of self, or all clinging to self. There's no clinging to anything as self anymore. The mind is pure. The mind is completely purified. So there's no birth into the human world, no birth into the Brahma world, no birth into the Deva world. The mind doesn't go there anymore. And for the stream enterer, it's the being who cuts the three fetters of personality view, clinging to rites and rituals, and skeptical doubt. So one who has a weaker parami and abandons the three fetters, they're born as a human for seven lifetimes, but no eighth lifetime. Then in that seventh lifetime, they realize full awakening or arahantship. And with more parami, then such a being has three more lifetimes. And with more parami, then that stream enterer just has one more lifetime. And then the Sakadagami, the once returner, they have just one life left as well before realizing arahantship. And the Anagami has no more lives in this world, but upon death they go to the Brahma world. And they realize arahantship in the Brahma world. So the stream enterer, when they abandon these three fetters, they see the Dhamma, they see Nibbana. They've seen already, so they enter the stream of Dhamma, but they don't yet attain to Dhamma. They've abandoned defilement, one portion of defilement, and changed wrong views to be right views, but there's still that sense of self there, even though the stream enterer has seen not self. So the view has changed. Before, there was clinging to things as self, but now that being is seen not self, seeing it's not me or mine or I. So this is abandoning the defilements to one degree or one portion. And these are the defilements that bring the mind to the lower realms, the states of woe, like the Asura realm, the animal realm, the hungry ghost realm, the hell realm. The mind no longer goes to those lower realms. They're too coarse. So the mind has mindfulness, but the mind still has a sense of self as well. And is there anger? Yes, there's still anger, but there's no thoughts of harming, because such a being, a stream enter, sees the drawbacks in ill will, sees the drawbacks in greed, aversion, and delusion. So the mind is not able to go to these lower states. But there's still a self there, but it's a self that's good. It's a self that's Arya, noble, supreme. It's not a being with thick defilements. It's no longer a beautiful being or Kalyanachana, but it's above that with wisdom. It's a being that sees the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death and has Nibbana as the object of the mind. and no longer wants the defilement, strives to abandon defilement. We can look at the examples of Lady Visakha and Anathapindika, and still having the sense of self, having a family, having children, grandchildren, spouse, and so on, and still having clinging, having ill will, having love, having attachment, having happiness, having sadness according to causes. And both Anathapindika and Lady Visakha had the experience of a relative or child dying. And we can look at the story of Lady Visakha. She had a child, a grandchild die, and that grandchild was very excellent, very skilled in the doing of merit, and then that child died. So that child did their work very well, was very skilled at receiving the Buddha and the Sangha, to give alms, to make merit, and really helped in the making of merit to make the work lighter. We can say that this child was like the right-hand person of Lady Visakha. But then they died from this world, and Lady Visakha felt quite sad. Even though she knew that old age, sickness, and death are normal, she understood this already, but she saw that this grandchild who died was a very good person, very helpful, so that it was a shame, it was too bad that they died. But then upon receiving the teachings from the Lord Buddha, she had mindfulness arise, that if everyone was her child, then she would receive a great amount of suffering. So mindfulness arose. And there was this sadness that her grandchild had died, that was such a good person. But then this mindfulness arose, this contemplation, and she was able to accept this impermanence, that however good she is, she would have to die, and doesn't last. So this is one example. There's a sense of self there, but it's a lofty sense of self. It's a noble being. It's different from a normal person who has the sense of self and doesn't see that self, doesn't understand it. But Lady Visakha, she had seen the truth of not self and striving to develop her mind to be higher. But for the Arhant, they have no sense of self at all, no self there at all. They've attained to the Dhamma. So there's nothing left. Whatever arises is seen as it arises, stays for a little while and ceases. There's no clinging left over whatsoever. So this is the difference to be found there. So there's another way that we can look at this comparison about the moods or sense impressions. For instance, we look at the Bhutachana or Bhutojana, one with thick defilements, no sila, no virtue, and that these moods or sense impressions, it's like drawing a line in a hard rock that's solid or hard, or like something very solid like that, and the line is deep, and it takes very hard to erase that line. So this is mindfulness that's quite weak, and the mind just chases after moods and sense impressions. And there's ill will, anger, wishing to harm, vengeance, lack of virtue. And then someone with virtue arrives, someone who has sila dhamma, and they're also like a hard rock, but it's not actually a rock, it's just dirt that's very firmly compacted. So it's an improvement. It's not actually stone, but it's very hard dirt. So drawing a line in that, it's still quite hard to erase, or takes a long time, but it's not a rock, so it's an improvement. And then we come to the beautiful being, the Kalyanachana. There's still greed, aversion, and delusion, still the sense of self there, but there is Sila Dhamma, there is virtue. And so that's like, that's also like dirt that's hard. And we come to the point of a noble being, Arya, Pugala, in the beginning, stream entry, or stream enter. And that's also like hard dirt, but it's not rock anymore. It's dirt already, or earth. And the stream enter that has seven lives left, it's like a hard dirt. Three lives left, it's a softer dirt. And one life left, it's the dirt starting to get soft. And then for the once returner, the Sakadagami, the dirt is quite soft already. If you draw a line in that soft dirt, then that line disappears quickly, gets erased quickly. If greed, aversion, and delusion arise, they dissipate quickly. And for the Anagami, the non-returner, it's like drawing a line in the sand. In no long time, that line is disappeared or erased. And for the Arahant, the fully awakened being, it's like drawing a line in water. You can ask, well, is there a line there when you draw a line in the water? Well, there is, but it disappears very quickly. The line's completely gone. Everything's completely gone. There's nothing left at all. It's also, we can compare it to a drop of water on a lotus leaf. The water doesn't stick at all. This is the mind being separate from moods and sense impressions, and there's no self there whatsoever. So this is one example.
Longpa, I am very grateful for the teachings offered by you and the monks of Wat Map Chan. It took me nearly 62 years to find Buddha Dhamma in this lifetime. What would you recommend as practice and practice schedule for one who is already 65 years old and likely not to be in this form beyond another 15 to 20 years or less? I hope you will come to Canada and North America and give teachings very soon. I rejoice in your merits.
So having heard your question, you likely have generosity and virtue established already. So this is what's normal for Dhamma practitioners, to have the five precepts established already. So given this being the case, have a lot of mindfulness. Keep a watch over the mind with mindfulness. Watch over the mind and don't cling to anything. In your daily life, don't receive too much information. Don't receive too many impressions from the world, because you just have a little bit of time left. Like you said, you're already advanced in age when you've met with the Dhamma, just 15 or 20 years left. So now is the time to put down the things of this world and to focus on just things related to yourself. So have a lot of mindfulness during the day, whether standing, walking, sitting, or lying down, have a lot of mindfulness. And sit meditation, like when you wake up in the morning, sit meditation in the afternoon, before, after your afternoon rest, do chanting, meditation. When you have the opportunity, you can listen to the Dhamma. You can also read Dhamma, study Dhamma. If the mind's busy and distracted a lot, you can read and listen to Dhamma at that time. And this way you bring your mind to be with wholesome objects frequently, meritorious objects frequently. And you chant, recollect the qualities of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and apply your mind to the cultivation of loving kindness. So you do it like this, mindfulness and samadhi improve. Wisdom improves on its own.